Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. A little programming heads up. We plan live coverage at 11:30 this morning of a news conference that Mayor Bloomberg has just announced. And because I don't want to spread rumors, we're not going to tell you what we hear it's about, but we think it's going to be very interesting. So Mayor Bloomberg at 11:30, we will have live coverage. And come on out tonight for our latest first principles debate between Demos and the Ayn Rand Institute. It's a free event at 6 o'clock tonight at the Skirball Center for the Arts at NYU. The topic tonight will be freedom, for whom and from what, about liberal and conservative notions of freedom in our democracy. Free tickets are available through our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. And while you're on the site, you can take our Freedom Quotes quiz, which we have in conjunction with this, see movie clips that refer to freedom. They're really fun. And see our listeners' collection of freedom haikus. Maybe you wrote one yourself. And again, for free tickets to tonight's freedom debate, go to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org, or just show up, 6 p.m. at the Skirball Center, 566 LaGuardia Place at NYU. So who's essential? That's the question. On the minds of federal employees across the country and the over 50,000 federal workers in New York City and over 100,000 in our region. If Congress doesn't get its act together by Friday at midnight, the federal government will shut down for the first time since 1995, and some 800,000 workers who are deemed non-essential will be furloughed. So what actually happens during a shutdown? Who gets paid and who doesn't? And how will it affect everyone else? And why, for example, despite not being able to agree on a budget, do members of Congress still get paid during a shutdown, which we understand they do? Paul Kane, congressional reporter for The Washington Post, is steeped in this and joins us now to explain. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how are you, Brian?
Good, thank you. And with us to look at the local situation is WNYC business and economics editor Charlie Herman. Hey, Charlie.
Hello, Brian.
And federal workers, we want to hear from you. If you are a federal government employee, call us up and tell us what's going on in your office right now. How are you preparing for a possible shutdown? What are people talking about in the office? What's the mood? Is there any doubt, uncertainty about who would be furloughed and who wouldn't? We'd love to hear from federal workers. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. So, Paul Kane, how will federal employees know if they're deemed essential or not?
That's something that they're sorting out right now on an agency-by-agency basis. In fact, the word essential, non-essential, is one that they try not to use anymore. I'm told it actually was something that they were using in the 95, early 96 shutdowns. They were using it unofficially, and since then, they've made clear that it is expected versus unexpected workers. And it's really going
there's
through
a nice
agency by agency basis.
Expected. Yeah. There's a nice euphemism. Expected versus unexpected. That's expected to show up versus not expected to show up, I guess.
Essentially, yes.
And I guess
not intentionally using the pun, but there it is.
Right. And I guess at a time of huge debates over budget cutting, they don't want to call anybody non-essential because the public could turn around and say, well, if you're non-essential, then we don't want you there anyway.
Exactly. And I mean, what we had reported today was that, you know, messages went to all employees that, you know, their fates would really not be known until Friday. I think there's a certain basic level of understanding. You know, at the Education Department, they're estimating that basically 4,150 out of 4,500 employees would be furloughed. So you're looking at most agencies, you know, if you do the back of the envelope math, what is that, 85% or so of the workers, the workforce would not be in place, at least at the Education Department. That may vary a little bit from agency to agency, but basically it's your top line people. I'm sure if you're a political appointee, you're definitely showing up.
Charlie Herman, where do we start at the local level with our 100,000 regional federal employees?
I think that is what Paul is talking about, is that some of it will depend on who is essential and who is not, who is this, who are these categories. And they're still trying to figure that out. The Social Security Office, for example, hasn't come up with their specific plan. So obviously the first concern is going to be for those federal employees who are not getting their paychecks, who have been basically told that they're non-essential and to stay home. There's some questions about whether or not they can actually claim unemployment benefits or whether they could actually get other jobs. In those cases, there's, you know, a document that one of the larger unions has put out to sort of give information and guidance to those employees. And in it, it says they, in some cases, they have to obtain approval before they get outside employment, or they have to make sure there's not a conflict of interest. So a lot of questions up in the air there. And for those employees who are working, most likely they will not be paid at, during the time that they're working. So they would be paid back at a later point in time once the money is appropriated. But, you know, that can cause a hardship for a lot of people, especially if they're living paycheck to paycheck, trying to make their mortgage payments, trying to pay their electric bills. So clearly the first place that will be hit are the federal employees. And then there's the ripple effect to contractors and tourists and anybody who's trying to get any sort of business done through the federal government.
So listeners, if you're a federal employee, we would love to hear from you. And also you can call with questions if you think you may need a government service that you're not sure will be available after Friday night. You can call up and maybe Charlie Herman or Paul Kane from The Washington Post can answer that question. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And let me just go down some of these things that people must be wondering about. Paul, will we still get mail?
Yes, the Postal Service is sort of its own entity, you know, because their revenue, so much of their revenue is derived not through congressional appropriations, but instead, you know, the stamps that we buy. And so they have plenty of revenue to operate. You know, we have a blog on WashingtonPost.com that's tracking all of this called Federal Eye. If you guys want, if anybody out there in New York wants to Google it, they can, Federal Eye. And it's just, we've done an agency-by-agency breakdown. Oddly enough, the Energy Department has advised people that anybody at the Energy Department is expected to report to work as scheduled because they have a stockpile of money that they believe isn't really connected to the fiscal year calendar, and they'll be able to continue functioning. Some places, you know, I just told you about the Education Department, where roughly 85% or more of the workforce won't be reporting. So it really depends, I think, on your agency, how much of its budget is dependent upon Congress and congressional appropriations every year.
I want to follow up and break in for just a minute on what I said earlier about Mayor Bloomberg having a news conference at 11:30 this morning, and we will bring it to you live. We can now tell you that New York One, the New York Times, and the Daily News are all quoting sources saying schools chancellor Kathy Black will resign. WNYC is working to confirm. Again, the mayor has scheduled a press conference without a named topic for 11:30. We will bring it to you live. But New York One, the New York Times, and the Daily News are all reporting that sources say schools chancellor Kathy Black is out after obviously a very short tenure, if that turns out to be true. Charlie Herman, back to the government shutdown possibility. Seniors, military, Medicare, Medicaid recipients, the unemployed, will they all be receiving their various checks, Social Security, military pay, unemployment checks?
In some of those cases, I think what it comes down to is, are you currently receiving benefits, and if you're not? So in the case of Medicare, for example, they have money and they can continue to pay out in the short term, at least. If the shutdown were to happen and it weren't an extended one, they should be able to continue to pay. But if you're a new applicant, you may have doctors that decide they don't want to take you. If you change your address, there could be some slowdown in getting that processed. Medicaid, the states get quarterly payments, according to the mayor's office here in New York. And so, again, the payments will probably continue. They may accept some new enrollees. But, again, a lot of it is how new you are and whether or not you're already in the system. On things like you were just mentioning the pay for military service, most likely they will continue to work, but they may not get paid, or it depends on actually when the shutdown happens and in the payroll cycle whether or not a check might be cut for them or not. But if it were an extended period of time, they would keep working without pay and then be reimbursed at a later time.
Paul, will people be able to go to VA hospitals?
I believe they will. I think it'll be it says what we have here says is they're expected to stay open. The Veterans Health Administration. So that much I believe is true. And I think if this goes into any sort of extended shutdown, I think the appropriation for Veterans Administration the Veterans Administration for military operations, I think that would almost be the very first one that would be quickly approved.
Douglas in Queens is a federal worker. Doug, thanks for calling.
Hi. This is going to be devastating for me and my family. I was just telling the screener that they cut out the overtime here about 3 weeks ago because they were $200 million short on the budget that was already approved for that gap period. So we were just barely making it with the overtime. And then now if they cut this out, technically right now I've got enough food for my family to last until Saturday. After that, I don't know what. I haven't paid the gas or the electric. They may cut that off. And I can just just barely pay my mortgages and just token payments to utilities.
Well, Doug, let's hope that if it happens that it's very short.
And the horrible thing about it in a shutdown like this is that in a lot of those instances, if you don't make your mortgage payment, you don't make your electric payment, you can end up being charged a fee, and that sort of puts you into this cycle. And a lot of people are living paycheck to paycheck, and once you start accumulating those, it's like credit card debt. It gets harder to pay things off. So there really are some real-world implications here, even if for people who don't necessarily interact with the government on a regular basis may not see it. Their mail still comes. They still get a check in the mail from the IRS.
I asked if patients will be seen at VA hospitals, and the answer is apparently yes. But Sheldon is calling in with concern about another kind of patient. Sheldon, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. How are you, sir?
Good.
I just wanted to talk about an unintended consequence. My son is a physician and a scientist working at the National Institute of Health. And as of today, he has not been told whether he is essential. And his information is that if deemed unessential, all of the experiments that they're presently undertaking are going to have to stop. They're not going to be allowed on the campus, and patients will not be admitted into the clinical trials beginning with the shutdown.
Paul Kane from the Washington Post, anything on that?
I want to give you a bullet point that could be breaking news. We'll know. Boehner is actually going to take to the floor in a couple minutes to speak, as that could give us sort of an update of where he thinks things stand.
Mm-hmm. So that's in the negotiations. Do you know about NIH in particular?
NIH is, I think they are going to be in a lot of trouble.
What I had heard previously was if you're a patient in a trial that's already begun, it will continue,
yes,
but they won't launch new ones. Is that accurate?
That's generally been what we believe will happen with most medical issues. It's the not being able to process new forms. New forms, new enrollees in these sort of things.
Give me a couple of quick yes or no's. For people traveling, how about customs and TSA workers still on the job at the airport?
Yes.
People are in the middle of buying a home and getting a mortgage. Charlie, the FHA, not making new loan guarantees?
That could be tougher. That could be tougher getting some of those guarantees and that going forward.
Criminal justice system, Charlie, if you have a court date, will our local federal courts be affected?
This is a little unclear. I mean, the courts are, they're supposed to be going forward, but their non-essential services could be cut. So the Southern District Court here in New York said that the federal court said it would go forward, but at the same time, the General Services Administration, which oversees the court, said there could be some shutdowns of courthouses, even though the courts continue operation. So I would check with your attorney.
And Paul, you said John Boehner's going to speak. I want to play a clip of him from the other day about a possible government shutdown.
The goal here is to cut spending because cutting spending reduces uncertainty. It'll help our economy. And frankly, let's all be honest, if you shut the government down, it'll end up costing more than you save.
Paul, we have 30 seconds left. Is that known to be true? If you shut the government down, it ends up costing more than you save?
The issue there is largely, I think the guess is that they would end up probably repaying a lot of the workers who were the precedent was the last time that the workers did get repaid, and so you don't get really any savings there. And the breaking up of the contracts that are set out there in terms of defense contractors and the thousands and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of government contractors working at agencies all across the country, the breaking up of those contracts becomes very bad. And
when we have to leave it there. Paul Kane, congressional reporter for The Washington Post. We'll follow Boehner. Charlie Herman, business and economics correspondent for WNYC. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
And more on Kathy Black coming up.